done more than your manager has in his whole career.
See, look, so you have to go to that level. You don't need that, mate. I told you, you're top of the league. Enjoy it. Stop fucking whinging like your manager.
Football show.
Hello everybody, my name's James, welcome to Tottenham. We've got good news on Surge, he can speak. Some of you might think that's bad news, but I decided no, still have the day off, of which Clayton is much fucking delighted after Arsenal won the hey, look at us lastminute.com trophy on Tuesday night. Congrats on the victory at the fucking shed. It's not the shed of football stadiums, isn't it?
It was
well done, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it was fucking unreal yesterday. It was just something about last minute winners. Just never get bored of them. We rely on them quite a lot, especially
they're becoming more and more, aren't they? And I don't just mean just for Arsenal.
What, in general,
getting more late goals. My team had one at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Right?
And I guess obviously with my Arsenal hat on, it's like I feel like I've had loads of them in the last. Well, last season, we've had five this season, I think I heard. Obviously, Rice has got two of them, one being Man United. And I was watching it at my mate's house yesterday, and he fucking like punched me in the back multiple times when we were winning in the last minute. And obviously, in the heat of the moment, your adrenaline, like, my back is absolutely fucked today. But it was,
You said we weren't going to talk about MILFs on this podcast.
Unfortunately, I wish it was a MILF. This was a very ugly 20. No, he's not ugly. He's a good looking chap, my mate Andrew, 28. Anyway, like great performance. I think it was a good performance. I meant to say great result there. I think the performance was fine. I think people are going way OTT on how close the game was. I think in reality, you resim that game with how it went 100 times. I think we win that. Quite comfortably, 90 out of the 100.
But it's better, isn't it? Winning this is better than just going there and winning 3-0.
Yeah, I think it was just more like I've seen a lot of people kind of narratives, right? Like around the Arsenal defence. And like the reality is it was a good set piece goal from them. And then we fucking gifted them two goals because Raya was I thought he was poor on both goals. I've seen a few people trying to defend him with the corner. I don't know what you think about it.
What, the two goals?
Specifically the second one, because I thought that's poor
on the
goal.
Corner. He's got to do better, mate.
Yeah, I've seen
the Ross Barkley goal is
that's bad.
I would expect any Premier League goalkeeper to save that, mate.
Not only save it, collect it.
Yeah,
Obviously, like I've said before, I believed that we could upgrade Ramsdale and it was an opportunity to upgrade him, but I'm not sure we've got it right per se. I think Raya has good technical ability, helps us control a game more, but I don't think Ramsdale was making consistent mistakes like this. So
the big one we were looking for was neutrals last night, and obviously, as you know, I was watching the game completely neutral, especially after Ross Barkley scored. I was waiting for the goalkeeper substitution.
Yeah, well, I got that
wrong.
Right?
If you start, he's struggling, take him off, nah.
Yeah, and this is what I said early in the season. I thought it would be a case of kind of shared minutes as two number ones, but I got that completely wrong.
Still, at least you didn't buy David Raya in FPL.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you did?
That tripled.
You did? Oh, did you tweet something that went viral last night, did you, by chance?
I'll get fucking pelted.
Was that, look at my treble Arsenal defence, what could possibly go wrong?
Do you know what makes me laugh? People like, are you okay? I'm like, of course I'm fucking okay. My team was literally won in the last minute on top of the league. Fuck off. Like, I don't give a shit.
So did you see that FPL images that precede unfortunate events?
Yeah,
obviously
that.
Tagged you. And what I quite like about that account actually is they don't tag people. They just image it. So, you know, unless you know, you know. And someone's obviously going to tag it as someone did. Someone tagged me and you in the tweet. And I was like, to be fair, I suspect he really doesn't give a fucking shit at the moment.
Yeah, I could not give a flying fuck. Like, I'm the same as you. Like, Arsenal Football Club and for you, Tottenham Football Club is always first, then FPL for me. FPL is just a game that I have a laugh with. But, Arsenal top of the league. I thought we deserved that. Wholeheartedly, I thought Luton were really good in the way they pressed us and everything. And I haven't watched too much of them on the telly this season, so I was actually a bit taken aback by like how small the pitch was. And yeah, I think I was
the angle doesn't help.
Do you think that's what it was? It was more
a
the
little
TV
bit, yeah.
Angle.
I think it's the same with Bournemouth, and there's not. I think it is a bit smaller, but it's not massively different to most grounds. I don't think those low angles, like West Ham's pitch, always looks fucking massive.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, there you go, West Ham being massive, but that's because the camera's in a fucking different postcode, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to that game in the Carabao in the away end. It's the first time I've been there in the away end. And yeah, because I've heard you talk about like it's in a different postcode, but when you're there for yourself, it's like, fucking hell, it really is far. But yeah, yesterday was just, it was great. I think, like I've said, offensively this season, I don't think it's been good. And then in the Champions League, it's been fine, specifically at home. Obviously, beat Lens 6-0. And then the Wolves' first half I spoke about was like super encouraging. And I spoke about obviously a bit of a tweak where Odegaard was dropping a bit deeper to facilitate things. We weren't playing through Rice as much. Actually played through Rice a lot more yesterday than we did on Saturday. But it was that final half hour when it was like 3-3. And I felt like Odegaard just went up a gear in terms of his kind of authority on the ball and how he was trying to make things happen. And yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, like it's a bit tin pot to leave it last minute against Luton and stuff. And like I said, I think the game we played, I think we created enough chances to win that quite comfortably. It's just we had a fucking idiot in goal yesterday. Stupid mistakes.
Well, you're going to have an idiot in goal for the rest of the season, aren't you? Irrespective of which one it is.
Yeah, literally. So it's not great. For what it's worth, I do think long-term Raya will be fine.
No, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think now we're the team with the most individual errors leading to goals with 5.
But also conceded the least.
Have we still conceded
know.
The least? I don't.
Well, you've played one more, so let's see where it stands at the end of the week.
Yeah, defensively, I think as a team, like the structure behind how we defend, I think we are the best defensive team in the league. Personally, I think we're better than City defensively this season.
If they're all fit.
If they're all fit, they're probably
City got better depth than you, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they're all fit, I think City are better than us defensively. But right now. But we're threading fine now. So Tomiyasu is out for a few weeks. So that tweet that I saw wasn't legit.
I saw someone put last night Clayton's ITKs in the mud.
Yeah, this is what I don't know where this ITK thing came from. I said it was a tweet that I saw. It's not someone that I know. But
I might have said it was ITK. Sorry.
Oh, did you? Yeah, no, it's not my.
I think I said ITK in the Arsenal Twitter community. Well, the exact words I used on the team news stream last night was, I mean, you obviously spoke on a differential show, but on the team news stream, I said that the Arsenal community thinks, and you'd picked it up, and that was it.
That,
so
that's exactly.
I mean, the information, to be fair, in terms of the last night, wasn't incorrect about Tomiyasu not playing.
No,
it's just obviously the situation is worse than anticipated.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you ain't surprised. Tomiyasu's out 4 to 6
surprised.
Weeks. How many times you been here, right?
Yeah.
It's a shame for the lad.
It
but
is,
he is injury prone. And I suppose it's longer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he'll go to, I suppose
Asia
they'll still
well.
Take him to the Asia Cup.
Exactly.
But it's actually it's 2 months, isn't it?
Yeah. And so that's a bit of a problem because now I didn't think Kiwior pulled up any trees, to be honest. I thought he was pretty average. I thought his pass selection was a bit off. Just looked a bit uncomfortable, and I don't know how much of that is a rhythm thing. He hasn't really played left back in that system for us often.
Do you think he should have been sent off?
You might need to remind me on which one this was.
When he took Townsend out at shin height.
I think it was very similar to the Havertz at Newcastle one, right?
Nah.
No, I'm not thinking. Honestly, I'm having a mind.
Nah, it was like at first it was like, oh, is that a penalty to Arsenal?
Oh, sorry, that one. No, I don't think he should have been sent off.
No, I agree. I'm just testing you.
Yeah, I don't think it was a pen, though.
No. We're like talking about, of course it wasn't a pen. You're talking about on Saka before. Nah, it's just a block. There's nothing in there.
Nah.
I thought it was a strange game because I agree with you that, like, if you play even the exact game as in the exact moments again, he doesn't end up with the scoreline it does at the end because of Raya saves a couple for a start, which obviously then causes this panic. But it was strange that you found yourself behind and you're going, it's not to be critical of Luton, but you almost go, I think Luton can do better than this. And I don't think Arsenal were playing that badly. But also going, well, you're in trouble now, 3-2 down with this, because we'd obviously seen the reference of the Liverpool game was a perfect example to say, well, if they go in deep now, this is going to be tough. And I think that you could have been a couple away. That even the first goal you can see is from a set play, which you don't normally get done over. You're normally pretty good defending set plays. You've ended up conceding from two last night. And I think that the key moment, and it's so bizarre, was the equaliser to make it 3-3.
Yeah.
Because Saka just launched it in the air. And I thought, the worst thing you can do, literally went from my head, don't start doing that. You've got half hour to go. Don't start doing what they want you to do, because they'll deal with it. And Jesus did great. And Mengi defended that situation so badly. Jesus does do great. And then, so he was behind for, 60 seconds?
Yeah.
Then you think from there, oh, okay, they'll win it again now. But also, it never really felt like it was going to come.
Nah, that's exactly it. So you've hit the nail on the head. It went 3-0, and I was like, okay, let me sit back on the sofa, chill. We're going to go on and win this now. And then 60 minutes becomes 65, 65 becomes 75, 75 is 85. I'm like, okay, it's not coming here. And then to be honest, it gets to, I think up until, even though there was nothing to suggest for me personally that there's a goal coming, it was just more blind faith. I felt like for a while it would just come. And then it got to like the 85th minute. I was like, I don't think we're actually going to get anything here. And then added time happens. And obviously fucking Declan Rice, he's just got, I don't understand how he's just this guy that contributes everywhere. Like how.
There was a couple of moments in the last 10 minutes or so before he obviously scored where it came to him on the edge of the box. And you're thinking the amount of power and aggression he's going to put in the shit, he's only going to have to hit the target. And he had a couple of shots blocked. And he certainly has that. I can't think of the right word, but I guess we could use a comparison to Rodri in the sense that he comes up clutch in these mad moments. And they're not always big games, right? Remember, Rodri scored in, 89th minute at Sheffield United?
Yeah.
For example, this season. So that would be comparable to, say, I don't know, Rice last night, his literal last kick of the game.
Yeah.
But obviously coming up big for you in big moments. You mentioned, obviously, I know it wasn't the last goal, but it was effective winning goal against Manchester United as well. And he's got that drive. You can't take that out of him. I think on certain games last year, say when you lost to Everton might be a good example where it felt a bit flat and it wanted someone to carry through. I remember that day, he took Odegaard off with 5 minutes to go and you're like, can't take him off. And he actually hasn't done fuck all today. Rice will just carry and he'll drive and he'll commit someone. He'll create a yard of space for someone, even though he's not got the technical brain, if you will, like an Odegaard in terms of his physical creativity, creates and opens in different ways. So, yeah, I mean, that's a defining moment of the season, potentially, where, like I said, if you'd have just gone down 1-2-0 last night, you go, cool, 3 points on the board, bring on the next one. But actually, your high is much more. Now it's a case of, you obviously went through this last year.
Yeah.
And I know the Bournemouth one was really extreme, even more so than yesterday, probably.
Yeah.
Because you'd been losing literally for, 99 minutes in that game or something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously not, but they scored in the first second. And it was later
in the season as well, right? It was in February time, so.
Yeah, but there was a lot then in terms of the overreaction and stuff. And listen, in terms of celebrating, even more so away from it, I mean, do what you fucking want, right? Yeah. Have to settle down for Saturday now. That's not you. You don't have to settle down. You're a supporter. You do what you want. They, the team, have to settle down for Saturday.
I think they will, to be fair. I think this team, like the theme for Arsenal this season, even though it didn't come across yesterday, is more control and more measured in their actions. And I think there is that kind of maturity that I'm seeing in them as a team this season. So I think I back them to settle down by Saturday, but I'm not confident though. I'll go on.
I was just going to say, if you win these next three games, you win the league, mate.
I don't agree with that. I'd be confident, but I think anything can happen. Like, I've learned my lesson from last season in terms of absolutes too early in the season. I think this time last year, I probably would have agreed with you, but yeah.
I don't think we'll win all three games, by the way, because it's difficult to see anyone winning at Anfield at any point, right? You're certainly capable of winning at Villa. You'd fancy to beat Brighton at the moment, but we mentioned that a little bit on Monday's pod. It's never going to be a gimme anymore. Liverpool's obviously very, very tough. Then your run's really good for a long time.
I'm just nervous about it's the defensive mistakes, and now the only fit fullbacks we've got, well, natural ones, are White and Zinchenko. Zinchenko in all three of those games actually worry me. Villa away, Brighton at home, and Liverpool away. I don't think there are any that are cut. They all, to an extent, feel like games where you would have had a Tomiyasu come in, or even I feel like everyone's outside of Arsenal circles has forgotten we signed Jurrien Timber. I feel like, he's someone. So, we could
is
be
that
dealing
the
with.
Answer to the question we had on the Q&A then? That is Zinchenko good enough long term? Well, you probably bought a replacement, but no one's seen him, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. The question on the Q&A was about Arsenal signing Zinchenko and Jesus, and obviously they elevated our quality. But is it something that they can be upgraded on? And Zinchenko, So the way I look at it is I look at our defence as a group, and I want different profiles for different states of the game, right? And that's what I think Zinchenko, in certain game states, is absolutely phenomenal in what he brings to the team. But there's certain games where you need a Tomiyasu at left back or a Timber. And that's why I look at that as a group. And the same with Jesus up top. I know everyone, I fucking hate this narrative of he's not an out and out number nine. He can't score 25 goals. Name me any fucking striker that consistently scores 25 goals anymore. Okay. Domestically. Yeah, other than him, who's like a freak.
Erling Haaland.
Yeah, again, freak. Like, it doesn't, I don't think you can name more than 3-4 people that consistently do it. And also, you look at Firmino in Liverpool's title winning season, what did he score? Like 8-9 Premier League goals? I think what.
But yeah, but then are Saka and Martinelli going to contribute in the way Mane and Salah got, 40 between them?
Fair point. But I think it's more to illustrate. I don't think the system that Arsenal plays necessarily requires an out and out number nine. I actually think stylistically, the profile of Jesus is the best for us. And it's more what I've seen in the last two games of. In my opinion, Odegaard was playing on the last line earlier in the season because it was Nketiah up there. And Nketiah is not good at facilitation of others. I think that's why Odegaard was playing a lot higher up then. And now Jesus is the facilitator in that last line. Odegaard can get involved deeper and then he can do what he does best. He arrives. And going back to the actual point, Zinchenko, I think he can be upgraded in certain game states, but I want to keep him around in the squad. I just don't want him to be like the out-and-out number one left-back. And same with Jesus. I think I would like an out-and-out number nine to complement him. So in certain games, I've got Jesus there. In certain games, I've got an out-and-out number nine. But I think you'll see now the Jesus and Havertz combination. I think that's what he was being signed for, to kind of have him as more of a second striker, kind of feeding off Jesus, playing, running into the spaces he vacates. So it was better from Havertz last night as well. Thought it was good.
Quick one for the FPL heads. Just a very simple question. Mm-hmm. Do you expect any changes to last night's starting lineup to Saturday at Villa?
I can't work out right now who will be at left back. I think he may go back to Zinchenko. And then I think the rest of the team will stay the same.
No temptation to bring in, let's say, a Jorginho for this, or
I don't think so. No,
okay. I think Martinelli plays again.
I think he'll start again. Yeah, I actually thought Trossard was quite poor when he came on
because,
as in why I think Martinelli will play, or why I thought Trossard was poor.
What was it about Trossard?
I just thought his pass selection was pretty naff. I thought like he was, just not really doing anything when he got the ball. And yeah, I just felt like he didn't contribute at all, to be honest.
All right, that's enough fucking shit on Arsenal, unless you got any more for any more, mate.
No, everyone go get triple Arsenal defence, because it works wonders.
I didn't know if you'd done it or not, and then until I got that tag last night, and I was like, do you know what? I can't even laugh about this, because they won.
Yeah.
Do you know what? When Barkley scored, I was like, oh, hello. That's literally all I said. I was like, oh, hello. Because even when it was 2-2, I was like, they're comfy. It's not a problem. When it went 3-2, I was like, oh, hello. Because I was half and half. To be honest, I was watching your game on one phone. I was watching Wolves and Burnley on the other phone, just on top of each other. So I wasn't fully paying attention. But
I do want your opinion on one more thing before we go on to Spurs, actually. So Arteta got booked for his celebrations. I don't know if you've seen. No, I'm aware of what your feelings are.
I don't give a shit, mate.
Do you think it is a booking, though?
What did he get booked for?
Celebrating. I can find the actual...
He got booked for celebrating. He's normally moaning, so that makes a change.
Again, I know what your feelings are on him as an individual, but I'm asking just like letter of the law, do you think that's a booking? I'm trying
run
to find
on a pitch.
No.
I'll ask you that question again. Did he run on a pitch?
I don't think he did. But the fact that you asked me again makes me think he did.
Yes, mate.
Did he actually? Okay.
Yeah. So... yeah, and not like Jurgen Klopp into Alisson's arms kind of extreme, but did he run on a pitch? Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be watching this like a hawk then. Because
you can watch it like a hawk.
No,
on a pitch.
No, I'm not that.
And
I'm not
it's worth saying
you, but
that it's Kenilworth Road.
Others do not get fucking refereed the same way. And the pitch is so fucking narrow.
No, I was going to say, it's at Kenilworth Road. The technical area is about 6 millimetres by 1 yard. in seriousness, in that moment, in that circumstance, where there's not a lot of room to move, better that than run into the opposing dugout or something. So no, he probably shouldn't, in fairness, right? And I don't think any of us ever won, as long as it's not
I don't think he was
antagonistic to
then.
Anybody else or provocative or incite. I think from a manager's perspective, you know, don't incite the crowd and shit like that.
Then
celebrate how you fucking want, and it like so.
I think that's why I wanted other people's opinions. All I saw was someone genuinely celebrating a last minute goal of their team with his staff, and it just happened to be unfortunate circumstances where the fucking touchline was so narrow.
It is one of them where I think like most times he gets away with it, let's be honest.
Yeah,
and it's never one that you get consistency over, ever, unfortunately. So,
we'll see.
An ex-manager will do it next weekend. They'll get away with it or whatever.
Exactly. Like a
get that, you know. Poor Arsenal.
You're
top of the league. You ain't even got in the second gear yet, and yet did Arteta deserve to get booked? Enjoy yourselves, mate.
I am enjoying it, but of course, like you have to call that out because now we're going to be without him on the touchline against Villa, and that's a problem.
Right to the FA, tell him or the Premier League, right to whomever. No point calling it out to me. I can't fucking help you.
No, but that's what the point of these pods are, right? It's to express your feelings on stuff. And I think that was just absolute bollocks.
Let me express my feelings to you right now.
If it was Spurs, you'd have a different energy on it.
What if Ange got booked?
And the
fucking shit.
I
couldn't care less. So what?
No, if he then missed a game on the touchline, you can't be telling me that you wouldn't be like questioning that.
Same, he's off the touchline. What big difference it makes? Still give the message down below. It's not like he's barred from the stadium and can't speak to the
team.
That makes
a huge
difference. It's not that big a
deal. He does so much of the coaching from the touchline of the team.
Yeah, we can do it from upstairs and pass the information on.
It's much different.
Who's your assistant manager?
AirPod Albert.
Excuse me?
Albert Stuyvenberg or whatever his name is.
AirPod Albert.
He's known as AirPod.
Exactly, he's listening to Arteta, isn't he?
Yeah, but it is different.
No. If he wasn't going to get suspended for this one,
so many fucking
he'd have got suspended for the next one or suspended for the one after that.
I just think there's so many fucking hypocrites out there.
I think every football fan in the world thinks that their club is fucking wronged.
It's not an agenda against Arsenal. I don't believe that. I just don't think there's... No. Of course I don't.
Do you not
that.
Think it's an agenda against Arsenal?
No, of course I don't. But
You're in the fucking minority of Arsenal fans, aren't you?
But I believe that people are fucking hypocrites with how they behave to situations, and it pisses me off.
I think he's going to get targeted because he's a fucking arsehole.
I think people are bitter because there's a beautiful 38-year-old shitting all over this country. He's done more than your manager has in his whole career.
So you have to go to that level. You don't need to do that, mate. You're top of the league. Enjoy it. Stop fucking whinging like your manager. Just get on with it and be happy.
No, but I am allowed to be happy, but also be aggrieved by decisions, especially when other people are using their personal feelings towards the manager to not be objective about things.
So who's using those personal feelings? You think officials are?
No, not officials. Like
me.
Fans of... You to an extent, yeah. But like even other fans as well. It's just
but
like
I'm on the wind up, you know that, right?
You are, but not everyone else is. And I think that's where it's like, so take the whole point of like, you should just be happy. I am very happy we're top of the league. I think it's also okay to be annoyed that I believe that the way, how do I word it? People's feelings of him shape completely biased and hypocritical opinions.
Go on. Example. What? Because Ange is a media darling at the moment and he's not, as an example. Or...
No, just nothing to do with Ange. Just Arteta in particular. People don't like him as an individual. So they'll like kick the boot in on that last night. Whereas if that was Ange, everyone would be like, oh, look at him.
Okay. Like, let me ask you a different question. What do you think about Mourinho?
As a person?
Whatever.
Oh, I think he's a wanker.
Right.
But I don't assess, like, I respected him as a manager at the top level.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's it. That's a good question, because I think that's what it is. I still don't think people respect Arteta. And granted, like, he's only won an FA Cup, but for what he's doing in his first managerial job, I genuinely think it's actually absurd, considering the level we were at as a football club when he took over and what he is doing. Like, we're now the four favourites to win the whole Champions League. Like,
you're where you are because of him.
Yeah.
Let me be very clear on that. My criticism of him is not as a football manager in any way. My criticism of what you're saying is, I'm afraid, and that's why I use Mourinho as a reference, is because he's a really fucking dislikable bloke. And I'm telling you the honest truth. No, where was the poll on the Arsenal fan channel? You never put it there because you knew what the result would be. So the reason it feels like everyone dislikes him is because he acts the way he does. And part of that, by the way, is a little bit like Mourinho. He's creating that siege mentality and winning mentality in your football club because he only cares about you. You don't care what the other 19 clubs feel or whatever, right? It doesn't mean you should dislike him. I'm just telling you, that's why.
No, I know. And I know people outside dislike him, and that's not a problem, because like I said, I disliked Mourinho. It's when it gets to a point where if something last night happens, you get people like complete, like I know for a fact, if last night was Ange or Eddie Howe or some other managers, people would be viewing it completely different. And that's where it's like my pet peeve is like the inconsistency around objectivity.
But do you understand why?
Yeah, because people don't like him as a person.
Yeah, I'm telling you the honest truth.
I know.
Listen, there's a lot of people who don't like Pep. There's a lot of people out there who don't like Jurgen Klopp. I'm pretty sure there'll be some people out there already absolutely sick of this Ange narrative and stuff, right? There's some people never get over the way Unai Emery says evening, right? Some people have vendettas against certain people for certain reasons, right? I'm saying as a general, wide opinion, my opinion is forget Tottenham Arsenal. Mikel Arteta is generally, as a human being and the way he talks, quite dislikable. Is he probably a really nice guy? Yeah, he probably is. I'm sure even Mourinho's probably a really nice guy. But he does everything in his willpower for Arsenal. He doesn't have to apologise for that. I'm just explaining to you why the narratives are that way. Because the managers you mention, like Ange, Eddie Howe, etc., are not trying to, currently, create that kind of siege mentality of it's us against the world. Now, once Newcastle or Tottenham, maybe in a few years, start going for a title, maybe that will change.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe they'll start being a bit more like Arteta, but probably not.
I don't know. I think there's definitely an element of them too playing to the media to try and win hearts and minds, but that's fine.
Yeah, fine. Are you bothered by it?
No, because I think we're levels above. So
exactly. So be fucking happy.
Yeah, like I said, I think you can be both happy but also aggrieved by a decision.
Yeah, of course you can be aggrieved,
in my opinion,
by decisions.
I know we don't see it the same way, but I think it makes a huge difference whether he's on the touchline or not. And that's why I'm aggrieved by it.
I'm just saying to you, that, and I agree with you, but if he wasn't suspended for this, it would have been Brighton or it would have been Liverpool because eventually he put his foot in it anyway.
But you don't know that for a fact.
Because of his theatrics on the touchline, you know it, Clates.
No, as in, I know it would have definitely come, but you don't know it could have been against Brighton, Liverpool. It could have been fucking... like some tin pot team at home.
Yeah, it might be a tin pot team at home, and if he's that important, you might lose it.
I don't think we would to a tin pot team at home. It's more for the tougher ones. I think that's where his value.
Well, you
is.
Drew 2-2 with my team, and I'm pretty sure you've called me tin pot in the past. So
I haven't called your team tin pot this season.
Okay, fair enough. It's good chat, that.
Yeah.
What a waste of fucking 20 minutes we'll never get
back. No, that wasn't a waste. I thought that was good.
My emotions right now are tired. I'm fucking exhausted.
I'm
mainly
not surprised.
Because of Sunday.
What time did you get in the end?
It wasn't that stupid a clock. I don't know, 12:45 or something, maybe. Like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was just the whole gig was fairly exhausting for a number of reasons, which I'll explain. So most of you know that from last week's pod, I'm guessing, this idea to get to Kettering. And Ricky was going to pick us up at Kettering. So Kettering's about 45 minutes north of Bedford, which is where Ricky lives. Bedford is like an hour on a train from central London. It's, you know, it's not jumping a bus to Kettering and Ricky will pick us up. That bit in itself is a good couple of hours. Ricky picks us up. We get up to Manchester, fairly good time. We find a car park in the centre of Manchester, which we deem is quite close to the motorway and for an escape getaway, because we've probably got 3 hours to do the 2.5 hours back to Kettering afterwards to catch the last train from Kettering. So anyway, we go to this car park and Ricky's got a fucking electric, and the fucker. Yeah. Hello, Ricky. Love you. Right. Them things shouldn't be doing like journeys of more than like half hour, man.
What's the what's the word I'm looking for? The mileage it can do without needing charge.
I get onto that, right? So I don't know the actual answer. I think it does vary from motor to motor and how long you've charged it for and whatnot. Anyway, we go to this car park. Charges it, walk out the car park. 5 minutes later, Ricky's got the app up. It's not fucking charging. Go back. Oh, it is fucking charging now. Okay, go back again. Going to KFC, because by this point, it's about 2 hours of kickoff. And what I hate at that point is, it's like everyone's fucking hungry, right?
Yeah.
Me and Dad have been on the move. It's like now 2:30. So I've left the house at 7:40. I haven't really stopped moving, right? So it's like I don't want to go into a pub and like, oh yeah, we'll have free meals, and you don't know how long it's going to take, right? When you don't know a place, you start getting, you know, it's 3:30, where's my dinner, and you start getting nervous about shit. I fucking hate all that. So we go in KFC, everything's fucking cushy except the fucking car ain't charging again. So what are we gonna fucking do, right? So it's like, well, we could stop somewhere afterwards, we could just leave the car there and we could stop somewhere on the way back, but we ain't really got the time afterwards. Yeah. We don't know how bad the traffic's going to be to get out of Manchester. Spoiler, it was bad. So we go to we have to get to this different car park, right? So I say to Dad, so we go in this car park, was right near the KFC. It's not that far away. I said, look, imagine we move the car and then the fucking space to charge the electric ain't there,
yeah,
right? So I say to Dad, fucking wait. 20 minutes later, where are you? Trying to get out of this fucking car park, right? It's a joke now in Manchester, right? Another 15 minutes later, are you fucking lost? No, we're sitting in
still
traffic on a one-way street, can't fucking move. So to move this car from one car park to another took ages. We get the car park. It's now about 45 minutes to kick off, 50, 45 minutes to kick off, right? I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm not panicking because I know it's like a half-hour walk. So I can walk it, right?
Yeah.
But this isn't what the gig was, right?
Yeah.
And away from home, you'll know, having done it enough times, you don't know if it's going to be, the closer you get the kickoff, the more difficult it can be to get in grounds, right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The queue really builds, because a lot of people do like to leave at lastminute.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, get onto the main road. Let's try and order an Uber. Nothing's picking up. Fucking great. See a cab across the road. It's got the old orange light on the top. Thank you very much. Open the fucking door, mate. Right, we're in. Black cab, no problem. We was at the Etihad in 10 minutes. No drama, mate.
Sure.
Right. Well over sort of half hour of kickoff. All good. Gets in the ground. Brilliant seat. All great. Game's mad. Come back to the game. So after the game, you can imagine peaking, right? To be honest,
yeah.
I think unless you're Arsenal or Liverpool, you walk out the Etihad with a draw, you celebrate, right? So
yeah,
not many fucking teams will do it.
I would
I think that's the same if you play at Anfield or the Emirates as well at the moment, right? So, and particularly, because even people say, oh, I think Tottenham will go there and get smashed, right? So did we, right? Every single one of us. We spent most of the journey up joking about how many we were going to get beat by it, right? It wasn't even a conversation. It was like, yeah, all I want to see today is Tottenham go there, bizarrely, because everybody else wanted us to go there and defend. We wanted to go there and attack. Yeah. Let's go for it, right? That's what we wanted to see, that we was going to, Ange was going to give us what he's told. Yeah, we're going to go up there. We're going to stick to our principles, which they did, right? And we could have been 5-1 down at halftime. But then by the end, most people seem to think we possibly deserved a draw out.
So I didn't actually watch the game. Is that true? You could have been 5-1 down at halftime?
Oh, definitely, mate. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, some of the chances, man. I mean, Doku's that hit the bar and post. Haaland missed one absolute sitter. And for him, there's another half chance he has, which for him is normally going to be a goal as well. But he's only really a half chance. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Any case, come back to the game. So after the game, so it's, we're conscious of time, and it's, you know, even like clapping the players off the pitch, we begin walking down the stairs to get out and stuff. Get away, fine. It's like a 35-minute walk back to the car park. It's fine. The good news is Ricky's car has been charging. Brilliant. What I don't quite know, though, is how much it's charged.
All right, okay.
So my understanding is we're sitting in a car and it's all fine. And we've got enough to get back to Kettering. I'm sure we have. This thing's been charging for a few hours, right? Ricky's like, yeah, we've got enough.
How many miles you got? Nothing, no?
Ricky's going, we've got enough. We've got enough. No problem. If you're thinking you're about to hear that the car broke down on the motorway and just stopped, no, that didn't happen.
Okay, right, yeah.
But it was a bit tight. I think when we got to Kettering, he reckoned he had about 15 miles left on it.
Okay,
or something.
Yeah.
It's like, Ricky, what happens if we'd have stuck in traffic here or something? Or what happens? Does the thing just run out? He's like, no, it's on mileage. I knew it was all right, but fucking hell, it was a bit tight.
Yeah,
or like, what if we'd have had to do a diversion or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, I never knew this till quite late on. But basically, we had a massive problem. So it's freezing cold. And actually, it wasn't as cold in Manchester as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Like that day when I went up there, when the Burnley game got called off the next day, you walked out and managed to Piccadilly Station and it was like getting hit with a sheet of ice in your face.
Yeah.
It was so fucking cold. It wasn't that bad, actually. But when you've got a window open, you're doing 70 on the motorway coming back and it's like 0 degrees outside. Guess what? It's cold. You can
Why
shut
the
fuck fucking
window. The
window's
open?
Right, this sounds really obvious, right? So here was the problem. And I didn't know none of this, right? But basically, it was obviously pretty close on the fucking mileage.
Yeah.
If Ricky put the heating on the car, it was going to take off the mileage.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's like petrol, right? If you use the AC and stuff.
Okay. But obviously, it's cold in the car. Okay? Because there's no heating on.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're breathing, right?
Yeah.
And by this time of day, it's nighttime, right? It's getting to, you can see your own breath and stuff, right? So, the car's going to steam up. So if Ricky don't put the heating on and he's doing 70 down the motorway, is he going to fucking
see?
He can't
see shit. Okay.
So the only way he's going to see is to let the fucking air out. So now it's even fucking colder.
Oh my God.
So my old man ends up with like coats over him and his hat on and scarf around his face, goes to sleep in the fucking back and stuff, to check on him a couple of times, make sure he'd not just passed out through hypothermia in the back of the fucking car. Fucking hell, mate. So literally, I don't know how Ricky drove.
Yeah,
he drove like that because I was in the car going, I feel my fingers are going to go numb. I went to take one of my coats off my dad because gloves were in my coat. He had my coat on him. I mean, I can't take that off him, but I could do with my gloves here. At the same time, the gloves would have been useless because I'm trying to track if we're going to get this fucking Kettering in time.
Yeah.
So the last train was at 10:05.
Okay.
Ricky pulled outside the station at 10:04.
Fucking hell. No way.
So it's not quite as bad as it sounds because there was a 10 o'clock train as well, which had been delayed 8 minutes and was due in at 10:08.
That is still cutting it.
Yeah, I know. It's good, isn't it? Right. Yeah. So, and it was the same coming back from Villa. We just about, we had to chase the train up further down at fucking shack town. I can't remember. Market Harbour. I was like, I can't fucking remember because we weren't going to make it back to the last train at Bedford. So we had to go further down the motorway to catch the train up.
Oh,
anyway.
My God.
We made it, but I made the old man run as well, didn't I?
Was he
because
right?
I knew because the 10:05 was coming from somewhere local. The 10 o'clock was the one coming from Sheffield, which would have been the only physical train you could have got to got it. So I'm thinking, right, so dad's been freezing cold in the back for hours in this fucking car. And now I'm going to get in and say, all right, you've got to stand up on a train for an hour back to London as well. I was like, let's get that 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
He was not happy though. When I said, we've got to run. I hadn't told him there was another one afterwards because he'd been asleep most of the time in the car. So he thought we literally
That was quite
had
smart
to...
of you, to be fair, yeah.
He literally thought, because I knew he wouldn't, if I'd have said there's another one in 3 minutes, he wouldn't have run. He looked at me like he wanted to kill me. He's like, why am I running? And if there's another one in 3 minutes, I was like, let's get
Did
on
you explain
it.
Explain all of that after.
You've got a fucking seat on the train, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you would have on the other one, which would have been full of pissed up Tottenham fans as well, I'm fairly certain.
I'm impressed.
So, we got it, got back, was fine. We made it. I mean, just imagine though, if we'd have done all that and then he's like, yeah, you lost 5-1 and you do, why are you doing it? So dad felt like shit, right? Because it was obviously, and it was by no means Ricky's fault, and he was a fucking hero. And he never floored it, by the way. Like once we got out of Manchester all the way through, it was like, you'll get there between like 9:57 and 10:05. And that was like consistent the whole way through.
Jesus.
It went up a little bit, went down a little bit. He just... But he couldn't floor it anyway because the fucking car.
Could
just
like
be consistent
car,
the whole way. Like if we'd have ever hit traffic or anything, we were dead. So Ricky, he did such a good job. Bless him. It must have been shit for him even more so because he's got to do the concentration of the driving, right?
Yeah. What would you have done if you missed it? No, I'm guessing there wasn't another one after that 10:08 one.
No. Legitimately, yeah. It was nothing. So, he would have kept driving. I know he would have.
Right.
He would have kept driving because that's the type of fucking lovely bloke he is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have at least got us to say Luton or something, at least make the cab like reasonable-ish.
Yeah.
A cab from Kettering would be something I'd glad I didn't look. And it'd be expensive enough from Luton, but at least he's, okay, fine.
Yeah.
That's viable for two people or something. So,
oh, fair play, Ricky.
Leaving us in Kettering would not have been viable.
Nah, I saw your tweet saying it was only because of Ricky we did a main pod, and obviously I've seen you this week, but not really spoken about what had happened. So,
well, I'm aware coming back that there's a fair chance that we're going to have to hit a hotel somewhere or something.
Yeah.
Is a possibility. The beauty with Luton being further down is because of the airport and stuff, you're always going to be able to get something.
Yeah,
always going to be able to get something. So I knew we'd probably get home, and I was probably exaggerating a little bit, but yeah, like,
but
let's put it a different way. What if the car hadn't charged and we were just stuck in Manchester, right? So without him, we weren't getting home. So we made it. We was chatting on the way back. So obviously we've got United in mid-January. It's Sunday, 4:30 again. Now at the moment, trains are on. The quickest train is 3 hours, 40 minutes on that day to Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you do it there and back, 7.5 hours on train.
Is that what you're intending to do?
We'll put it this way. The quickest I'm getting back to London, and it can be done, but because of the length of the train, it's getting back at midnight again on a Sunday. And Dad's like, I don't think I want to put myself through this again. But I think obviously we was meant to play City away last year. It was the weekend when the Queen died. And had the tickets, and I give them back to the club and was gutted about it, right? Because it became a Thursday night in January and it just wasn't viable. So then the same thing had happened, right? So like literally the tickets came through the door and then it was like 2 hours later. Oh, by the way, did you know there's a strike? Fuck's sake, you taking the piss.
Is the supporters coach an absolute no-go for you then?
But the problem was, obviously, we was going with Ricky. So Ricky lives in Bedford. So for Ricky, he would have had to come all the way into London to get that coach or do that drive by himself. At least with others, he's doing it with other people, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it just been me and Dad going, then, yeah, the coach would have been viable. I mean, that's still in itself a shitter. Like, I wouldn't have got home any earlier.
No, it's not about being earlier. It's just the kind of convenience, right?
The actual time of getting home, considering you left Manchester at 7 o'clock, is fairly reasonable, to be honest. We stopped in Burger King in King's Cross to have something to eat as well.
Nice.
Because... no one had fucking... I was desperate for shit about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
Yeah, so we was in KFC. In fact, it's probably early, more like 2:30. We was in KFC and I said, look, here's the idea, lads. We'll go in the station. We'll do like a toilet pit stop.
Yeah.
Because Manchester Piccadilly is only like a couple of minutes walk. I'm not going for a shit in the Etihad, right? Go back to the station.
I'm curious, why not?
Because I'd been there before and I knew that wasn't an option.
Okay.
There were certain places, including White Hart Lane, where I'd be quite happy to take a dump. The Etihad wouldn't be near the top of my list.
San Siro.
Or definitely San Siro. The Etihad is that if I have to, the San Siro is just not an option, mate. So anyway, the shit happened with Ricky charging the car and whatnot. So there was no time for any of that. And trust me, when I went in the Etihad, I did think, forget it. Fine. And that shit never happened till Monday morning, right?
Fucking hell.
No, but the thing was, this is me, right? So I get in at 1:45. What did I do?
Sleep? Plan?
Started watching all the rest of the football, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
Why didn't you go have a shit and watch it on your phone?
We've all had that moment, right? Where you want to go and you go past it.
Yeah, it goes back up.
You go past it. Yeah. Whatever. Fine.
Oh, and you would do it all again, right?
Yeah, but the other problem with United, so what did I start doing last night? Because me and Dad basically agreed when we left each other. Sonny was like, we won't go to United. So, okay, fine. So I started looking last night, but particularly obviously because we got Burnley at home in the cup. I think, right, well, I'm not going away that weekend.
Yeah.
Because that would have been, whoever we get in the cup would be like, yep, going, wherever. So, okay, so that's a home game. So I started looking, I was thinking, because it's a split weekend, I reckon everyone had let me not do the main pod till the Tuesday, because there's only 4 or 5 games to cover anyway. And that would currently include Burnley against Luton on the Monday night. So there would be a strong case to leave it till the Tuesday anyway.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd only be reviewing 4 games. We might as well at least get all 5 in. So I think, do you know what? Fuck it. Should we go on the Saturday? Go, and it's more reasonable. Then it's like 2 hours on a train. And then come back on the Monday. I could probably, to be honest, I could get back to the office for like 12 o'clock and still do something. Just leave the main pod till the Tuesday. And if the wife's intending to say, I don't know, go to her dad's on the Saturday night, which she seems to do every other weekend now. Say, like, yeah, fucking up anyway. I'm going to take Harry to my dad's in Sandy. I'm like, okay, fine. If that's what you want to do, cool. So if she's doing that, I might as well fuck off on the Saturday night.
Yeah, go for it.
I was thinking outside. I'm just like, but there's a massive flaw with this, right?
Go on.
So like, say, I reckon if I said to her, right, Manchester Saturday to Monday, she'd go. She'd say do it. I think she'd say do it. What if we draw with Burnley in the cup?
You're not going to be allowed to go to the replay then.
I'll be turning around, coming back again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
coming back on Thursday. Could you imagine? Because you know me, right? If you get a couple of big draws in the cup third round, say you draw with Liverpool and Newcastle draw against Sunderland, it ain't on the fucking telly.
No.
But what am I doing? I'm going back to Manchester again.
Fucking hell.
So, chances are we don't draw with Burnley. Chances are we hopefully should beat them.
But
I might have to play my cards right here and leave the Burnley option open, I think. Because that'll be the more important one to me, in the sense that United, I can watch it on the fucking telly, can't I? Like a normal human being. So,
yeah.
Whatever. In terms of the game, briefly, I don't want to kind of cover off stuff that I covered on Monday, but like very, very proud. Even at halftime, when I knew we should have been beaten by more, there was a real sense of feeling of, do you know what? Lived up to promise. I think when you get something from a manager who's telling you you're going to do something, even if people were saying like, oh, you should do different, it's naive or whatever. If he's saying, no, this is our principle. This is the start. This is what we're going to try and do. Then you almost get more upset when you waver from it. So like I would have, even if we'd have held on at Wolves and won 1-0, I would have walked out the ground, not unhappy, because I think if you win any away game, generally you're quite happy.
Yeah.
But I would have walked out the ground going, that's not Tottenham now. That's not right. And Ange knew it wasn't right. And it was forgiven, right? There's one, he's gone, I think he has tried to change it a bit. And he's gone, no, that's not right for me. I spoke at the time about, I think he rewarded Dyer and Højbjerg because of the way they came on and dealt with the Chelsea problem. They did quite well under the circumstances. And then what happens afterwards? Nah, the two of them straight out of the team. Fuck that. Yeah. I'm going to get footballers back in the team. So even at 2-1 down, you're like, they've gone and had a proper go. Little things like the first goal, which I thought Brian Hill struggled. It's the usual. It's repetitive. He's too weak. But he does a brilliant little pivot on the edge of the box, gets us away. Kulusevski plays the ball in behind. And Sonny scores the type of goal that he never scored. And you'll go, that's Sonny going 1-1. Nice. The bit before it. No, he doesn't score goals like that. The bit where he's got to win a duel first.
Okay.
He's made Doku, who's rapid, right, look slow.
Yeah.
Now, Doku just dealt with it terribly. He was almost like confused that he got beat by it or didn't understand what he was doing in that position. But Sonny always gets bullied off in those physicality moments in big games. And he didn't. He had that desire to get there. And then when he goes through, you'll think he's going to score, right?
Yeah.
Edison should save it, in fairness. You'll never have heard me say that about Edison before. Fuck it, no. So, all right. Then you go 2-1 down fairly quickly and you think, well, okay, fine. They had a go. They give us a moment. Cool. Then you get into the second half, start thinking, we're right here. We're in this. Score a brilliant second goal, which comes from Davis being aggressive. Sonny lays it off to Gio. Gio scores a really good goal. And then there's a brief period where you think, we're going to win this. Generally, there was a couple of minutes where we're going to win this. Or at least we were going to go in front and then lose it 4-3 or something like that.
After we went 2-2,
no, what I said was that when it was 2-1, I was more confident of getting a result than I had been against Villa.
Villa, that was it, yeah.
Which was a combination of how Villa were playing, City were playing, but more the fitness level. We were getting stronger. Against Villa, we were getting weaker.
Yeah.
Against City, it felt like we were getting stronger. And I think it was things like bringing Højbjerg on for Hill made the team physically stronger. It gave Bissouma a bit more help. It allowed Lo Celso to get closer. Kulusevski, I thought, was fantastic in the second half. He was so direct and intent in every... And he's not the quickest, right? He's got the ability, but he's not going to like rapidly burn someone like Son could, for example. But I thought it was great second half, really aggressive in everything he wanted to do. And you could feel the build and the nervousness. When you're in the ground, you feel the nervous energy from the opposition, etc. Well, what's all this about? Teams coming to the Etihad and wants to play against us because they won't be used to that, right?
Yeah.
So there was a little period. Then I think Guardiola's change, which we all thought was weird, Lewis on for Foden, seemed to swing some momentum.
There were a few boos, right?
Back in, yeah, it seemed to throw some momentum back in their favour. We conceded a shitty goal, which Bissouma makes an error on, but we forgive it because we play the way we want to. And no one judges Oliver Skip trying something very, very similar on our equaliser, which works. Mm. And then we play through lines. Davis, Royal and Skip involved in the build-up for a Tottenham goal to equalise in the last minute of the Etihad. Three players completely maligned. I mean, Oliver Skip, the way we've moved on now, he's never going to make it with Tottenham now. You'll have to go somewhere else. Davis won't be there long term. He'll play till Van der Ven's fit. Emerson presumably won't play. Yeah, they funneled the ball into Emerson and knew he was going to be a problem because of his distribution. Did he defend okay though? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did as well as you could expect. Because for him, it's at least for Davis, like I said on Monday's pod, it is natural, I think. For Emerson, it's not, right?
Yeah.
Little intricacies of movement in that position off the ball. But he did fine. He defends properly. I always rate him like in jewels and things like that.
You've always been defending him more than the average.
Ask him to pass the ball more than 5 yards. Forget it.
No.
Forget it. Keep it, but you ain't going to. There's nothing out. So they went, well, it's going to die every time it goes to him, basically. Fine. The equaliser goes in. Obviously, you go fucking mental. Of course you do, right?
Where were you sat? I've not watched away days yet. Were you up, down?
So in the away days, which are posted for Advanced and Intermediate Plus, there's a guy called Sam Cornish who's like a pro photographer who takes photos at Tottenham games, but in like a crowd and stuff like that. So he's obviously done like 99 fucking clicks on Kulusevski's goal and put it together like a goal.
With
the commentary. And I put it into the away days video because I tell you what, he must have been so close to where I was in the ground. I never saw him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he must have been. It's really close to the perspective of where I was. And so upper tier, row N.
Okay.
Right in the corner, like 3-4 seats from the end. To be honest with you, eerily similar to where I was in the Champions League quarterfinal, but was a bit higher up that night. Great. Etihad's great stadium.
Yeah, it is. There was a question on Q&A. What were the limbs actually like?
All three of them were good, right? All three of them were good. The first goal felt a little bit like I imagine, like if you're Horsham and you go to Barnsley, just want a moment. And because we joked so much and we all knew we were going to get trounced, really.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we've gone up there. And that moment where Sun scores, it's like, we've done what we told you. We're going to go up there, balls out, and we're going to go for it. And I think I even said in one of the pieces I did last week, I think we'll score first.
Yeah.
So they've done it, right? They've done what they promised. whatever happens here happens. The second goal is a really nice goal. You go mad, but you still know what's coming. And then obviously once you go 3-2, after you've had a little spell, you think, okay, you're done here. It's more likely to go 4-2s, etc. And the third goes in. Obviously, when Johnson crosses it over and Kulusevski is going for it, there ain't an ounce in me that thinks he's going to beat Aki in the air and win it and score at the same time. So it's a shock that he wins it, which he doesn't really because he closes his eyes and I think it comes off his shoulder. And because of where it hits him on his body, the ball moves really weirdly.
Yeah.
And which is why Edison, you can almost see Edison goes to react and then he realizes the ball's not coming as fast as it was and he's just planted and he's going in a different direction. So he can't do nothing. I can't blame him on that one. And then even when, like I said, when it hit the bar, I suppose because we're kind of so almost like a vertical view, you're like, it's coming back out. And it didn't bounce over the line. It bounced into the net off the bar.
Yeah.
It takes a moment to process. Then, yeah, sure. Limbs. But it's steep there.
Yeah.
And you're aware of it.
I was
so not
there,
that
actually, yeah.
mad. Someone, a couple of seats to the right of us, someone ended up in front. It's inevitable in a moment like that. So I've experienced better limbs at the Etihad than that. But yeah, it was pretty good. And it makes it all worth it. All you can ever ask for your team, whether you're like your team going for the title, whether you're my team, who I keep saying like there's no targets, but obviously you don't want to lose games of football. No. I've not gone up there to lose, right? But all you can ask is that you stay true to yourself and give it your best.
Yeah.
And at the moment with Tottenham, the giving it, for a lot of people, that's like effort. For me at the moment, that's a given with this team. Like I know I'm getting it again. Like when we were really good under Pochettino, you knew no matter what, even if
they
played badly.
Anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. You ain't like going to outrun my team or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're going to give it everything. But part of Tottenham at the moment is the way they play. At least the intention to.
Yeah.
The intention to. And they'll have games, and I've spoken about this even when we were winning every week. There'll be a game or two, we'll still come, we'll get slapped badly. No one will understand why it'll happen, but I'm telling you that it will happen, and it'll be part of the principles. And it'll also be games where you go, it's not clicked today for whatever reason, because you're not going to play well in 38 games. And to be honest, to go full circle, that's why you deserve credit for last night. And I think like you didn't play badly last night, but we could certainly look there and go, the end of that game wasn't looking vintage. Like we said, it didn't look like it was going to come.
Yeah.
You get there, you win, you leave. You've done the same in the last two away games now, right?
Yeah.
The difference of those 4 points could be absolutely huge for you.
Huge, yeah.
If you draw those two games, you don't sit here now thinking you're going to win the league. And I'm not saying you're thinking that anyway.
I don't think we will right now. But I need a lot more evidence. One thing I want to get your opinion on is the kind of principles and stuff. Because on one hand, you say, obviously, at halftime, you think it could have been 5-1. So, like, where are you on the kind of general... I'm not going to say narrative. I just can't think of another word. There's some people that are obviously saying, should you kind of have an alternative way of playing for certain game states?
Yeah, I'll explain this. I think I explained this on the stream I did on Saturday, where I said, where's the, because I know like particularly Man United fans seem to be getting really annoyed at me at the moment. Like, we lose one game and we're the worst team in the world. You've lost three in a row. And listen, we went into Sunday knowing we might lose four games in a row. And it had been the first time we'd done that for 20 years, believe it or not. Right? Oh, well. So you go, well, that's not a good, but it wouldn't have mattered. There's no target. In a weird way, you might remember me saying this, I think when we was winning every week, that I said, I'm a bit concerned if it carries on, that the pressure is something that they don't need. Not that I don't want to be in that position or I don't want to be winning games.
No, I know.
It's like, I want them to be true to what they're going to do and not start thinking, got to fucking win, got to fucking win. Got, you know, going to every game wanting to win and thinking we've got to win, right? But I did get a sense that it was becoming a little bit of a, think of the win at Palace.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't play great that night. We didn't create a lot. Got the job done because we had a good little spell for 10, 15 minutes, right? And was fine. Did enough. Defended really well on the night as well, generally bar the start. But I think with the Palace game, because we went, was that Friday? It was a Friday night, wasn't it? We went 5 points clear that night. And I think then people started to go, maybe the result's more important than what we're trying to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we'd have won all these games in between before going to City yesterday, the general vibe amongst Tottenham fans, if the players had stayed fit, everything wouldn't have been, I hope we go there and play well and try and win. It'd have been fucking get something.
Yeah.
So I get that. So one of the things I tried to explain on Saturday was like, maybe there will come a point in 2-3 years where hopefully Tottenham are in a position to be challenging for things properly. And then, okay, maybe we do have to look at it a little bit different. Maybe then it will become a bit results orientated. That's what happened with Pochettino eventually. So with Pochettino, it was like we got our identity back. I say back, it was the first time we truly had an identity where people went, oh yeah, that's how Tottenham play.
I'd say you've got that back already, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, we have. But probably I was brought up on Tottenham play good football and things like that, right? And we were a bit of a cup team. But the style is always really important. Whenever you get told about the 61 team, it's always about the style.
Yeah.
As much as the results. Always about the style is really important. Tottenham obviously moved massively away from that in between Pochettino and Postecoglou.
Yeah.
Under Pochettino, the team had an identity where you knew you play my team. It weren't, easy Tottenham anymore.
Yeah.
It was like, these lot are a fucking team. Yeah. If you come under it, you're going to get beat. So it got its identity, but the club completely forgot who it was for the last couple of years. But under Poch, when, like, not even the Champions League final, but I think after the year we pushed Chelsea, we finished second to Chelsea, right? We got 86 points.
86, yeah.
Which is a joke fucking number, really. Like, in the modern era, I know that's not going to win you a title, but it would have been like 20 other Premier League seasons.
In 2016,
right?
It was, yeah.
And we also played really well against them in the FA Cup semi-final and lost 4-2. And people were... he made a couple of selections that day against Chelsea in the semi. He played Son at wing-back. Unless you're a Tottenham fan, you wouldn't remember that.
No,
he played Heung-Min Son as left wing-back, and it was a massive failure.
Okay.
He ended up giving a penalty away in the first half and stuff. I think, did he end up taking Cole Walker off in the second half or something? It was some stuff. You think if it was a league game, he wouldn't have done it. And then after that, and that was obviously the last season at White Lane. But once we got out of White Lane, we went to Wembley. Even though people knew how tough it was going to be at Wembley, the vibe almost changed a little bit where it became, well, they've been so close now. They've got to win something. The media narrative changed. Tottenham have got to win something. Oh, wouldn't it be a shame if this Pochettino Tottenham team didn't win something? Listen, I still remember it with the fondness now that I had then, right? If we'd have won a League Cup, would it have changed my life? Not really. Say, we won a trophy 5 years ago rather than 15 years ago. Don't change too much. You still had that identity and that belonging, the feeling. So it might, with Postecoglou, change in the next few years, where a similar thing might happen. And it might be that it's like, well, they've been great for 3 years, but now we've got to fucking win something. At the moment, I'm sure every Tottenham fan would love to win, say, the FA Cup this year as an example. But it doesn't matter. I said this weeks ago. He's already won this season. It doesn't matter.
Just carry on.
Keep going. And there'll be days like, you know, when we play you later in the season, it's one where the result does become, because of the rivalry, becomes really, really important and stuff like that. But generally speaking, no. Just keep playing. Just keep doing what we want to do. The team's got an identity. I feel, you know, we all feel like we said earlier with Arteta, it feels like it's personal. It's being attacked, right? It's the same, right? I can see where these people get whingy about Tottenham playing, Tottenham getting all this praise or whatever. But stop worrying about Tottenham. Stop worrying about your own fucking team. Maybe ask yourself why. Why is Manchester United not playing the way Tottenham are playing, for example? Would be more if I was a United fan looking at that game. Well, has he done that
already? Short, and that's what I've said. We'll see. Like, I've been quite consistent in my, well, I think I've been consistent in my praise for what he's done in a short period of time. I think you guys play very good football. I do think that eventually there will come a period, though, where defensively you can be had at, and you're going to have certain expectations, both internally and externally, it will be a different conversation then.
Here's, and I'll leave you with this because otherwise this will go on all night. But he changed tactics on Sunday.
Like I said, I didn't see the game.
So out of possession, it was played a 4-2-3-1.
Okay.
He's not done that in any other game this season. So within his guideline principles, he has set the team up differently. You can make your debates whether it worked or it didn't work on and off the ball. You know, probably with the Celso being part of that too in the first half. No, probably didn't really.
Sure.
But yeah, he did change. He's not just gone, hey, this is what we do. We pass and we attack and here's the 11 men. Go and win the fucking game. No, he is thinking, he is tactically astute as well.
Oh,
and he
I'm not
actually
doubting that.
Played a slightly different, it's only a slight little tweak, but it was slightly different on Sunday to what it's been in other games. And things like that I find very encouraging because the little intricacies in the big games, when it matters further down the line, I think he's got it as well. So, yeah, massively infused. We get beat tomorrow night, we get beat tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Might also give them a fucking slapping, though.
If you, so to use the same example that I used about Arsenal-Luton, if you resim the game, the scoreline, if you resim that game 100 times, how often do you think
on
it
Sunday?
Ends? Yeah.
Oh, they beat us 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
But then that's not the first time I've said that about Manchester City and Tottenham games.
Yeah, true.
Fucking...
It's
it is bizarre. It is bizarre. And it is weird because, like I said, we could have been, I don't know, if we're 4-5-1 at half time and he tells them go out and attack, like generally do we lose 7-8-1 or something in the second half? Like, I've no idea. Yeah. But then it didn't, when we left, it didn't feel unjust. I suppose as your fan, you feel in it and you feel like, well, they've worked hard, they've tried and all that. You feel like they deserve it. But I've not heard anybody going, even though you look at the XG and City's is like three times ours, despite that, I've not heard anyone going, oh, Tottenham fluked that or Tottenham didn't deserve it in the second half. Or weird.
Yeah.
Weird. But yeah, something in that fixture, they must be. I mean, obviously, I spoke to Johnny Monday night and he's just like, fuck off. Like, it's basically the first thing he said to me. It's like, I don't, because every time we always say, that must be the last time. Because all them results we had against them was all negative.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't matter. Stellini, Conte, Mourinho, and Nuno Santo all beat them.
Yeah, but it was all like shithousing their way through. Whereas this
was not always. Like, yeah. not,
okay, not always. That
not
was
always
harsh.
The case, to be fair. Like, I think, to be honest, like when Stellini was in charge in February, City was shit, to be honest. We had one under Mourinho where they should have been about 3 or 4-0 up in the first half. And then Zinchenko, ironically, got sent off and we won 2-0. So sometimes it was shit housing, sometimes it wasn't. The night Kane scored twice at the Etihad under Conte, we were great. Like, we deserved to win that night. So it's not always been that way, but it has always been from a counter-attacking perspective.
Yeah,
this time you've gone, well, they're gonna go for it. But you know, I think even if you look at our first goal, still comes from a counter-attack, basically. It comes from a Manchester City corner. So it was nice. We haven't actually scored too many strong counter-attacking goals from that perspective this season. So it's nice to know that's still there as well and can be used. So yeah, look, Clates, maybe this will happen again in a couple of years and this would be the same answer. 9 out of 10 times City win it. The XG would tell you that probably 90% of the time City win as well. And what my eyes saw would say that as well. And yet I still feel like we probably deserved what we got at the end.
Yeah, fair play.
Right, that's it. Prediction for Villa away?
I don't think we're going to win. I'm going for a draw. I'm going 1-1. I think it's going to be tough. Only thing is, I don't know if this is playing on my mind, but like, I think tonight's game, Villa City, will be take quite a lot out of them. So I'm hoping that the extra day of rest, like it's a congested period. Like, I thought we looked knackered towards the end yesterday. So I'm hoping that extra day of rest makes a difference. But I'm going for a 1-1 at the minute, to be honest. I don't see us actually going and winning. What about you?
Yeah, probably similar thinking, but you know, I agree. Let's see what happens tonight. And now they look at the end of it, and if their players come through it fit, and I suspect they'll probably pick two teams that are slightly different from a tactical perspective, would be my guess.
Know. Who, Villa?
Yeah, I think they have the ability to use some different players and some different options, yeah.
Sure.
So, Emery will know enough about your lot, right? I think he had a lot of regret on the game last year. I think he's probably that second half at Villa Park, and you did, I know it was late, but you did deserve to win it.
Yeah, we did.
Was the one I think Villa fans looked back on and thought, he didn't play well that half, and reflected on it. Yeah, so despite getting themselves in a good position. So I think they'll be very up for it. They've obviously got the focus on tonight first. We're capable of winning the next two, and we're capable of losing the next two. What game I'm watching tonight, Clayton, is dependent on you, mate. You tell me.
I don't know yet. I'll probably go bog standard with United Chelsea, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fine. I'll take Villa City then. Cheers, mate.
Cool.
I feel like I won there massively.
Yeah, it's just got, I know what my flatmate's like. He'll want to watch United Chelsea. What's your prediction for go on?
What, where's a United fan or something?
No, he's Spurs as well. He's a bit of like a football casual, let's say. He'll watch the big names more than...
Okay, fair enough.
Prediction for Spurs Newcastle.
Let's see if we've got 11 players fit afterwards, right? At the moment, they've obviously got a game Thursday night as well. So, you know, ask me Friday, you probably get a different answer. But at the moment, I think we'll win both.
I had to remind myself who the second was.
Well, we've got West Ham Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Romero returning is monster.
Yeah, I think you'll beat West Ham, and I think the Newcastle game will be a draw. I think that'll be tight.
Both teams will be... It'll be like the 12th round of a boxing match, I imagine. Both be like last man standing a little bit. Who's got enough fit bodies and stuff? Because both teams are fucked at the moment, aren't they? So it's a few that might swing it. Like, for example, if Trippier got booked to Everton Thursday night, it would be right handy if he was suspended against us, for example. You think, oh... Yeah, that maybe becomes a little bit makeshift defensively and stuff. So, yeah. But us at home now, with the way we play, I've got no reason not to fancy us against anybody, I don't think, because you're going to... You know, if we start against them, the way we started against Villa, you know, you asked me how many times would City have won 9 times out of 10. Well, 9 times out of 10, we start home games the way we did against Villa, we'll beat anybody.
Yeah,
that includes even the likes of yourselves and City, I think.
I still think defensively, good teams can have at you quite comfortably.
Of course they can. I keep saying this. We'll give every team a chance. It's like, you know, I want to get Tottenham defenders because we're playing Everton at home in game week 18. You don't think Everton are going to have chances? Of course they are. Yeah, we'll give everyone a chance.
No.
It's part of the fun, Clate. Try it sometime. Stop being so fucking boring.
We haven't been two games now, so we're clicking again. It's nice.
All right, fuck off. This podcast has been too long.
All right, PSV away for me next.
Enjoy. Cheers, safe travel next week in the Netherlands. I think Tottenham's probably going to be Thursday next week because, yeah, neither Clayton or Sudge are around next Tuesday or Wednesday. So guess who's going to have to pick up the slack? It's going to be me. What am I going to do? Tottenham poor with Nico? No, I'm not. Right? Or Tottenham Ron. Tottenham and Ronaldo. Right, can you Spurs? Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.